Hey everyone, welcome to our next edition of Taking Stock. I am really happy to have Anna Ivashko joining us this morning. Anna is a longtime steward at Clarkston, and we used to work really closely together, and we haven't had the opportunity, unfortunately, over a number of years, as Anna has been working most closely with our life sciences clients. So I'm really excited to have her join us this morning just to catch up with her. She is super passionate and has some great perspective around the topic we're going to talk about today, which is organizational effectiveness. I'm also equally passionate, maybe not as strong a perspective, but equally passionate around the topic. So I think you will be as well. I believe you'll enjoy the opportunity to hear her perspective around intentional change theory, why it's so important to not only put a strategy in place, but a plan to make that strategy a reality. Also this idea of avoiding a primary focus on what to think, instead focusing more on how to think, is something that I really enjoyed learning from Anna. So you'll hear about all those topics and others. Enjoy the discussion, and we'll see you on the other side. Hey, Anna, welcome to Taking Stock.
Hey, thanks for having me.
How's everything going?
It's good. The new normal is not very normal, but we're definitely lucky to be where we are.
Crazy. It's amazing how it feels like, 10 or 11 weeks now. It's just, we're certainly settling in.
I have a countdown. This is officially week 10 of me in quarantine. I'm starting to take down when I start moving furniture around and pick up new hobbies. So
I had a countdown, which I stopped because I broke it about 2 or 3 weeks ago, of consecutive days wearing sweatpants.
Ah, very nice. So, very nice.
It's the milestones. Once I hit 50 days, I figured I could, throw a belt on again and maybe wear it. So it's so much fun to talk to you because Anna and I, we used to work a lot together when you first joined Clarkston. Your first 6 months. Of your time at Clarkston, we spent a lot of time talking a lot about consumer products, talking about analytics. We were gonna solve all the consumer products problems. And then you go and you get staffed and you go to the dark side, and you've spent your time at Clarkston working on life sciences doing,
only life sciences. Exactly. So 9 years later.
Yeah, this is not meant to pull you back into the vortex of consumer products. So if that did happen, bring it on. I'd love it. So you are, you're getting an MBA right now.
Right? I am almost done.
Awesome. And one of the things that I know you're really passionate about is the idea of organizational effectiveness. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that today. You listened to some of our previous discussions here on Taking Stock, which is awesome.
I have.
Thank you very much. You're a loyal listener.
I'm subscribed.
Thank you. So long time listener, first time caller. Is how we would, refer to it in New York sports radio vernacular. But one of the things that, you mentioned to me was that a lot of my previous guests have talked about strategy, and we've talked about, setting an organizational vision. But one of the challenges that companies face often, and it's come up in multiple conversations, is how to take that strategy and make it a reality. How do you make it actionable? And that's one of the things when you think about organizational effectiveness that you're thinking about. So talk a little bit about how do you take something that is a vision, it's a strategy, and then make it actionable?
Yeah, exactly. And I think I've heard David talk about it. I've heard a few other folks on the podcast mention the problem comes with operationalizing change. And so we have this strategy work that we do as Clarkston that is helping leaders define vision, helping leaders identify where they want the organization to march. But it's the how. And then we have the technology side. It's we have the vision. We have the process. We need the technology with some process tweaks. But I think org effectiveness sits in that middle spot where the vision is there. But it's not a technology play. It's a process change to operationalize that vision. And I think it's been an interesting kind of piece of work to tag on to some of our strategy work, but something that we have to approach with some similar constructs, but a little bit differently. And I kind of borrow and some of the work that I'm doing in my MBA is actually around intentional change theory and borrowing some of those concepts to figure out what a future state looks like. And almost starting with the future first, then going to where we are today and some of the typical evaluations we jump right straight into without thinking about where we need to go. And then figuring out how to, I always like to talk about how with process improvement, you can't tell people, you can't come into an organization and tell people what to think. You almost have to set up a framework around how to think and have a cross-functional team that develops a solution. You can't come in thinking that you know what it's going to look like.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned cross-functional. So that is something that often what I see, and change can mean a lot of different things, but getting an organization to buy into whatever change you're trying to drive, whatever vision that is set. You know, it's one thing to have a vision that is set by the C-suite inside their, you know, their four walls. It's another thing to gain that alignment throughout an organization and to do it cross-functionally. Because so much of what we see in organizations now is that the interdependencies across functions is so critical. To have a vision and a strategy, but not having everyone able to align around it and understand how they can impact that vision, that's often where we see companies struggle.
And a lot of the effectiveness or the process efficiency opportunities are around processes that require cross-functional alignment.
Yeah.
Where it's a lot easier to do something that only touches one function, because there's a kind of a natural trickle-down effect where everyone can get on board behind the person who pays their bills. When you get cross-functional, it's where you need a little bit more of alignment. You need to understand everybody's perspective, and you need to divide and conquer and have that voice of the different stakeholders at play as you develop that vision.
You mentioned kind of avoiding kind of the idea of like what to think, instead focusing on how to think. So talk a little bit more about that. And to me, I think, you know, catch a man a fish, you feed him for a day, teach a man to
Exactly.
It's a lot of that. So talk a little bit about, you know, your thoughts around that topic.
And it's not groundbreaking when I start to talk about you'll hear it's pretty...
By the way, I think you know it's nothing's groundbreaking anymore. It's how do we take previous ideas, repackage them, and put a new spin on them related to whatever's going on in the world today? So
yeah, exactly. But it's an interesting because we came in kind of with some of these basics that work well, actually, both at the strategy level and at the nitty-gritty technology implementation level. And these things have proven their ability to scale both from existing processes and improving those, as well as kind of understanding and developing something that might be net new to the organization. But we'll really start with aligning by that on that vision. And then I like to get that cross-functional perspective on one page to understand current state. Because I think a lot of what we see is a lot of detail. And when you boil something up to one page, it A, becomes really clear, but B, you start to identify those cross-functional opportunities. You start to understand how functions work together. And on one page, if it doesn't look simple, it becomes evident where we can fix some of those things. Then we take a look at the process and we start to iterate that future state. But I like to work with teams to kind of bookend them, starting with the inputs and getting everyone to align on like, what do we have coming into this process? And then the outputs, what do we need at the end of it, right? And keeping it almost like a black box. Because sometimes as part of that process, you understand that what you're currently producing out of it is much more than you need, or what you're currently getting to support it is much less than you need in order to make it successful.
Yeah.
So starting there. And then organically out of that, the cross-functional teams tend to kind of highlight areas or pain points to zoom in on. And that's when we start to kind of zoom in and have targeted discussions that build what that feature will look like. But you can't because of how this works, you can't kind of come in knowing what that future will be. You can have a goal, but the operations will shake themselves out. And there's a little bit more structure for maybe net new processes, where we try to make sure that if the organization's focused on tactics, we roll them up to strategies, and we then have a holistic way to identify those key decisions or key imperatives, where if we make a decision to do A and not B, these tactics are applicable versus those tactics are applicable. But a lot of it is building that logic into how we run it and understand and asking the question why a lot.
Yeah, and I think it's where I've seen success with organizations is, in some regard there's that top-down vision to ensure that strategy is being properly disseminated throughout the organization. However, you also need a little bit of a bottoms-up process as well to ensure that the perhaps considerations are being taken into account that wouldn't otherwise have been. But also to just drive that sense of alignment and ownership around what that vision is throughout the organization. I find that people adapt to change much more effectively when they feel as if they've got a sense of ownership in that change. And they also understand the why, piece of it. And to me, that is that finding that right balance to ensure that top down and bottom up, and then also thinking about it cross-functionally, ensuring that you're involving, the right stakeholders across different functions of the business, is really important.
And something that I've learned, that I think is going to vary from organization to organization. But a lot of the time, process improvement is being done on a small scale as part of business as usual. And a lot of the time, we aren't measuring it. We aren't measuring, we're not setting out the big vision with KPIs that would actually show us if we're successful against that big vision. And taking a little bit more of a framework to it, starting with where we're trying to get, how do we want to measure it? And then a lot of this is basically celebrating the success and saying, we've done these things. We're 20% there. People are just so used to iterating the small pieces of process improvement within their realm that is just kind of scaling up something that inherently happens within organizations already.
Yeah, so I want to that's great, and I think that organizations often just completely overlook the okay, we've instituted this, and they don't put any sort of measure in place to be able to, is this working? Have we accomplished what we set out to accomplish? And your point about celebrating success certainly resonates with me. I want to shift a little bit, and let's think a little bit about kind of the real world that we're living in. What the broader topic of organizational effectiveness, I think all companies are struggling with right now, the new normal, like you referenced. We are being forced into massive change
Absolutely.
In the way that we work, in the way that we communicate, the way that we collaborate. Everything is going to change, and there is a lot of debate and a lot of unknown as to whether or not we're ever going to get back to the normal that we once knew. Talk a little bit about just maybe not to use the term too literally, but the organization's ability to be effective right now, in the world that we're currently living, and just some of your perspectives on how you see that playing out in the future.
I think it's a almost a double-edged sword. I think we are thrown right in this moment into both a change overload and a time where you kind of have to be okay with change, right? A lot of the change management pieces and steps forward to get us towards telemedicine, to get us towards virtual meetings, to get us towards sharing information in a virtual and digital way. We've been working towards them for so long, and in the last 2 months,
It's just me.
we're doing telemedicine. We're figuring out how a lot of things on the life sciences side can be done virtually, how we can reimburse that, how we can run clinical trials virtually. I think it's very different. I think from an operations or from a org effectiveness standpoint, what I've seen is certain changes are becoming a way of life, right? Yeah. So figuring out how to operate in this digital world, and people are a lot more receptive. And then organizations are looking at other changes that might be almost overburdening people with change management and scaling back and holding off. And then other things are proceeding as planned. There are, you know, functions that need to happen regardless of whether or not we're in quarantine. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you switch to video, a lot of things, organizations can be, I think, much more effective than they thought in a sure. virtual format. So we've seen both sides. And I think the point around process of improvement is figuring out what matters now, focusing and allowing the organizational energy to adapt to go to that, and then scaling back the things that aren't as important given
where we're at. Pardon my language, but in some ways you could argue that, you know, this is the kick in the you know what around a lot of those things, whether it be around virtual work, whether it be around telemedicine, whether it be around direct to consumer sales. Mm-hmm. These, you know, you could argue that, you know, years and years and years of trends have been accelerated because of being forced into this. And I think we're back to the topic of change. I do believe that change is when forced upon, you know, it's amazing how quickly things can be accelerated.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we have a vaccine in the pipeline right now, which is typically a multi-year process. So.
Yes. And I think overall, I think that we've shown a willingness to adapt. And I think we're showing a resiliency. Mm-hmm. And I think that how do we take that when we do go back to somewhat more of a normal state, mm-hmm. is how do we take that willingness to adapt, that willingness to embrace change? Because a whole lot of change has been thrown at us, and we've proven that we're resilient and that we can adapt.
Yeah.
So a lot of those barriers to change that people and organizations normally put forward, maybe those don't carry as much weight anymore because we've proven that we can change.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it will be around keeping that vision in mind and having a plan. I think those are the two things that are at the heart of making change successful. Yeah. People are never going to, you know, die it if they're looking at themselves the way they are now and, you know, saying that this is wrong. People are going to follow through with life changes when they have a vision of what that future life looks like, but then a plan to execute against it. And I'm borrowing from intentional change theory, but I've definitely seen a difference in approaching anything like this from a visioning state first, rather than going in and saying, so what's wrong with the organization, and then trying to patch or fix.
Right. Yeah, that's awesome. And I think we've also learned that sometimes we need to adapt when that vision might change a little bit as well.
Absolutely.
And we've seen that, which is why I think teaching people kind of how to think is such an important idea. All right. This is awesome. Thank you. We should do this more often.
It's fun
to chat with you again. And stay safe and stay healthy. And we'll talk soon. All right.
You too, Steve.
All right. See ya. Bye. Thanks, Anna, for a great discussion. I hope you all got as much out of it as I did. It was, as I mentioned, it's been a long time since Anna and I had the opportunity to catch up. And it was a ton of fun to do so. It's a topic that I really enjoy chatting about, the idea of organizational effectiveness, and really, you know, I hadn't planned on talking about it, but, you know, this idea of the world that we're currently living in and the quarantine and this idea of a new normal, I think we have proven that as organizations, as employees of those organizations, I think we've proven a willingness and a resiliency and an ability to change if it is forced upon us. And I do believe that there is a lesson to be learned, not necessarily around the forcing upon us, but we can change, we can adapt. And I think that often organizations are slow to embark upon a new strategy or embark upon a new way of working or a new way of collaborating or a new way of thinking because they feel as if the organization might not be able to follow or it's too hard to change. And I think if anything we've proven over the past 11 weeks is that we can adapt. And I think that if that could be one key takeaway in the midst of all this craziness, hopefully organizations could learn that the ability to quickly adapt to changing dynamics is something that we all need to do to be successful in the future. But more importantly, we are capable of it. So that's my two cents on the topic. I appreciate any feedback and perspective that you all want to share back and appreciate your listening. And I'll look forward to future discussions here on Taking Stock. We'll talk soon. Stay safe, everyone.